welcome to the Canon Cantina, a Star Wars show where we try to answer the question, who is Luke Skywalker? My name is Jesse, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mike. Mike, what is going on today?
People keep asking me, when do I take these headphones off? Never. If I take them off, I can't put them back on.
Yeah, what happens when you take those off? That is right,
Mike. It's that podcast life.
It is that podcast life. You have no idea how many times I've had these headphones on recently. These are my editing headphones, too. That's right, Mike. We're back in The Mandalorian today. That was a pretty deep cut Mandalorian reference, but that's where we are.
I mean, that's the episode we're talking about
it
today,
totally
right?
It totally is. So many things happening, Mike. So, like, this is just craziness. So, Rise of Skywalker is less than 2 weeks away now by the time you're listening to this. And holy cow.
Panic mode.
We've got a lot of content to do and a lot of content planned. So, that leads right into my next thing. Is we are going to be doing a live show the weekend of Rise of Skywalker, and we hope you guys can join us via the actual event if you live in Tulsa, or
if you drove a little bit to come see us. That'd be super awesome.
That would be super awesome.
I mean, I'm traveling, you know, like 2,000 miles to make it happen. So, like, you could drive from Bixby.
That's right. That's actually very true. You're driving, so 2,000 miles, yeah. The things...
Oh, I'm not driving, screw that, yeah, now. But I'm traveling 2,000 miles.
The things you do for stronger beer and Star Wars. So...
Yes!
Yes! So we will be having a live show, and we'll get you guys details to that soon. If not, we already have. We hope you guys can join us. And when I say join us, we are hopefully doing our very best to live stream this on our Twitch and our Facebook pages. So if you're not following our Twitch at twitch.tv/thecanoncantina and our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecanoncantina.
Or YouTube, same thing.
Yeah, definitely do that because we will try to get these live shows to you guys. If this live stream for some reason doesn't work out, we will definitely get video to upload post. What's exciting though is, you know, Mike and I are seeing The Rise of Skywalker a minimum of 3 times in the first 3 days.
Because let the final battle begin. And I like the playful way he says begin there.
He really does. Yeah,
let the final podcast apocalypse begin.
Maybe more viewings than that, Mike. Maybe more than the 3.
We're going to have a crap load of content. We're still just trying to finalize a location for that first weekend where our live show is going to be.
Yeah.
But regardless of like how that works, we're also just going to be like interviewing the people in line with us that first night.
Oh man.
And just other, you know, extra content because we try to do extra stuff whenever we're actually together.
Yeah, so we're going to be working like crazy and hopefully get all that content you can enjoy. Also, Mike, something I don't even thought we've talked about yet, but we will be in the same place again. So we can do commentaries we've been wanting to do for some time now, that being Rogue One and Solo and potentially maybe another Last Jedi commentary. These are things we could do if we have the time or we make it work. So I would like to do that. The Rogue One and Solo commentaries I've been really looking forward to doing.
You know, this just kind of leads into like how I'm preparing for Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to get a viewing of every Skywalker saga movie in, but okay. I decided to go ahead and include Rogue One in that the other night.
Of course.
I was putting some new bindings on my snowboard and I was like, I need something to put on while I'm doing this. And I was like, yeah, well, we'll start with Rogue One because that leads right into 4. So I can go machete order, you know, the 4 or 5.
Nice.
Sometimes I think you're supposed to skip 1 in machete order, but I'll go 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, yeah. 6, 7, 8.
Love that.
So we're, sorry, Solo.
So you are, where are you at right now? Just Rogue One itself?
I've only done Rogue One, but I'm probably going to get the next couple in this weekend.
Very good. I have been going through the films in chronological order, as in chronological of the Star Wars timeline, not the real world.
Not release
order. Right. So I have been watching them at a friend's house, which is really fun. He has a 4K projector. goodness gracious. And
oh, geez.
The other night we watched Revenge of the Sith. So the next film we're going to be watching, which is going to be awesome, he has a cool idea, is Rogue One followed by New Hope. So Rogue One, intermission, New Hope, same night, kind of watch party. So
that'll be good.
That's going to be something I've actually never done before, Mike, surprisingly. I've, of course, watched the scenes back to back, seen the seamless transitions and all that, but actually watching the two films together really raises the stakes with the plans, which would be great. And then, of course, Empire, Jedi, Force Awakens, and then The Last Jedi. And I'm really strongly considering, Mike, watching The Last Jedi the Wednesday night before we go see Rise on the Thursday night. So that might be fun.
Yeah, too. If I don't watch it with you, I might like try to squeeze that in on the plane or something.
Well, it'll be perfect because I'll be on Star Wars Cloud 9 because, of course, that Wednesday night is one of those weird off weeks we talked about, The Mandalorian, December 18th. That's an episode of The Mandalorian. They're jumping ahead to Wednesday instead of Friday format for that week to have people ready for Rise and to not interfere with the, you know, the movie in the theaters. Makes perfect sense. So I'll watch Mandalorian with my watch party, which will be so fun. I love having these people over and us enjoying this, our first viewing together. And then maybe Last Jedi right after that. It's crazy, man. It's just insanity. I don't even know what to do with myself at this point. I can't really think about Star Wars, which is the weirdest part because I'm working like almost every day until these movies come out so I can have more days off for these movies. It's a weird dichotomy we got. So my job does have a nice feature of flex time in some way where it's, you know, you work 6 or 7 days. Well, then that means you have a day or two later in the month to flex out. So that's exactly what's happening.
Nice. So are you ready to just kind of move into episode 4 of The Mandalorian? That's kind of our main thing tonight.
Yeah, I think so, Mike. Let's do it.
All right. So episode 4, it has a name that I can't remember off the top of my head. I should have had pulled up on the website. I'm going to stall for time while you kind of pull that up. But it was the first episode directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. It was our first family legacy directed Star Wars content. And as far as I'm aware, this is the first like thing she's actually directed. And I think she kind of knocked it out of the park because this episode was very, very good, even though it might be, I've only seen it once, the Friday it came out.
Okay.
It might be my least favorite of the 4 episodes we have so far.
Okay, that's fair enough. Bryce Dallas Howard has directed a couple short films, but you're right. This is kind of her first foray.
First like major thing.
Yeah, she's done some short films and things like that. And the episode is called Sanctuary, which is an appropriate name for this particular episode. You know, I don't know if I would say, I might agree with you, Mike, but at the same time, I'm not sure I'm willing to say it's my least favorite episode just because it was kind of a nice reprieve and a nice change of pace, which was maybe not as exciting as some of the other episodes in certain ways.
It's the only one I've only seen one time. So when I see it again, my opinion on that might change. And in no way am I saying that it was bad. I enjoyed it very much. There were just some things about this episode in general that maybe would put it lower on my list.
Well, the irony of this episode, I thought, was they took a little bit more risks in the episode, keeping a simple story in this episode, but some of the elements of the story were very Star Wars, and some were completely new to Star Wars. And I thought that was pretty interesting, just refreshing, just interesting. So, but, you know, this is stuff we've seen before at times, too, and never seen. So it just was a completely different feel, but still felt Star Wars. But let's just get into the episode at the very beginning.
Well, yeah. So in our discussion, we're going to assume it's a spoiler review that you've seen it. So we might kind of jump all over the place, but we're not trying to catch a complete newbie up to what happened in the episode. Kind of the earliest memories I have about this episode, outside of, you know, the radio switch, which there've been all sorts of great 30-second memes on Twitter, like song is Baby Yoda trying to play in the ship. I think that's great. And Pedro Pascal even retweeted one of them where Baby Yoda kept trying to turn on Africa by Toto.
So good.
He retweeted that saying, except I would never turn that song off. And I was like, you get it, man. You get it.
I've seen some pretty obscure songs and some things like that. Just really funny. You're right. It's Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian are an internet sensation, even outside just the story itself. Especially Baby Yoda, anything involving Baby, that puppet, that stellar puppet. They've been making into great content, meme content. So it's a unique time, Mike. It's a unique time for Star Wars.
So do we say props to Lucasfilm for keeping Baby Yoda under wraps? And
yeah,
part of that being not having any merchandising for it.
I think so.
Or do we say, come on, you should have had Funko Pops and all this other stuff ready to go. But
no, props to Favreau and Filoni.
It's December 4th today. Yeah. I don't know when Europe gets Disney Plus. It's this month, but has it happened yet?
I don't think, it has not happened yet that I know of.
Yeah, so that's another challenge they faced.
I keep seeing memes of that too. How they don't have Disney Plus and all the piracy memes involving Hondo quotes and stuff like that. So it's good stuff. We're in a unique time. But yeah, no, I think props to Favreau and Filoni for sure for just being like, no, this is such a big deal to the plot that we need to actually keep this under wraps.
And Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe even Uncle Bob Iger for listening to people this time around.
Oh, man.
It's recently come out that he admitted he was wrong about how they marketed Solo and pushed it out in May and December.
That's right.
Which,
good for him.
You know, Solo suffered, but at least he could admit he was wrong, and he should have listened to Kathleen Kennedy. So sounds like he kind of did on this one, and things have gone great. Baby Yoda remains awesome. That's obviously, you know, a given at this point.
Oh yeah, so awesome. And just the ceiling for Baby Yoda is kind of out of control. Like, it's a character people love. They love the child. They want the child to be protected, but the ceiling, as in what it means for Star Wars, is a little
the ceiling for Baby Yoda is 3.5 feet.
It's a little crazy, if that, Mike. If 3.5 feet,
well, I'm giving room for him to be taller
to grow
than
up,
Yoda
to grow. It's just the implications for Star Wars going forward have just been shaken up in weird ways because of this child, this force sensitive child. And it's just there's no telling, like, what's going to happen, because we have like something like 26 27 years or something till The Force Awakens. That's a big gap of time, not only for that Baby Yoda to age, but just to, how does this Yoda influence any particular conflict at all with the Force, right? With Snoke.
So you talk about Baby Yoda aging, and one of the things I thought about in this episode was like, okay, if Baby Yoda stays with this village,
yeah,
like, this generation of kids will become adults and he will still be like a baby.
Yeah.
Almost.
He'll be like a
how many generations,
like a toddler.
What is this weird kid that never grows up doing here?
Yeah. Well, by the old canon, Mike, the EU stuff, I think Yoda was around a little older than 100 when he started helping training Jedi. He wasn't like a Grand Master or anything yet, but he was training Jedi, helping the process. So I don't know. Not sure how old Yoda was when he was 120, right? I'm not sure by human years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was he a teenager?
What the equivalent?
Yeah.
Is
was he
there?
Like a 20 year old in our age, and he was just that gifted that he could start training people?
So let's say that Yoda died when he was approximately 900.
Right.
We cut the last digit off. He was 90.
Right. That fair enough. Yeah. But that's
so
wild.
Baby Yoda right now is a 5-year-old.
Yeah. But when Yoda was about 10, he was training people, or 11 or 12. So that's, yeah, who knows? But just the implications for Star Wars moving forward are kind of insane. They really did pull the wool over our eyes with this, like I said in the last episode, where, you know, this is not just a bounty hunter story. This means a lot of things for Star Wars going forward. Just something, you know, with the Force. So that was kind of still a crazy curveball. And while we're here, Mike, before we get into the episode, the plot, something that I was thinking about the other day that really, truly stunned me was we have the Mandalorian release schedule. I talked about December 18th is episode 7 of the Mandalorian. That's right before Rise. Rise comes out on the 19th. The next episode is the following week on... delete all that. So the episode on the 18th, what I just mentioned earlier on the Wednesday, is episode 6. Okay, so we're going to be pretty deep in the meat of the show. The following week is on the 27th of December, which is a Friday, standard. That's episode 7. Okay, and then we have the final episode, which is on the 31st, which is randomly on a Tuesday. So the show started on Tuesday, ends on a Tuesday. And that is the final episode. Now, what's interesting...
I think they're just trying to get in before 2019.
Of course. Ends. And what's interesting about this, though, truly, from a canon perspective, which is great for us, is post-Rise of Skywalker, within a week and a half, actually less than a week and a half of Rise of Skywalker, there are 2 episodes. And I say that because I feel like those episodes, maybe not, but they might have... some tie to something in Rise of Skywalker. And what a perfect time to show those. It'd be a week and a half after the movie comes out, right? But you certainly don't want to show that before the movie.
That's a very gutsy call, and I could see it being possible. What it made me think of...
especially in the finale, right?
Was season 2 or 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., whichever season they were on.
Sure.
When Captain America's Civil War happened, and it was revealed that S.H.I.E.L.D. was Hydra.
Exactly right.
Because that had big implications on the show. I can't remember the exact release timing of that, though. How much time did we have between when Captain America Winter Soldier and the reveal in the show?
Not much. You're right. But it wouldn't be this tight. But, I mean, it could be something as simple and kind of silly, but works as, like, the Imperials failing by the end of season 1, capturing the baby, and they say, go take this to whoever, Snoke or Palpatine or wherever. You know what I mean? It could be something as simple as that. Like, oh, go talk to whoever, because this has gotten at a level where we need to pursue this further. Or it could be something along the lines of something having to do with the balance of the Force. Who knows? It might not do any of that at all. It might just completely ignore Rise, but I... don't think Disney and Lucasfilm.
There's a chance.
I don't think
more than a chance.
There's more than a chance, because if the wool was pulled over our eyes with a lot of things,
there's an opportunity. I'll call it that.
Yeah, if the wool was pulled over our eyes with the actual nature of the show being a bounty hunter protecting a force sensitive child, IG-11 being touted as a main character dying. There's so many things. Why would they not do in the finale a week and a half after Rise of Skywalker, the final Skywalker movie? Some tie to it, whether it be huge or not, whether it be Palpatine or Luke or something big, Palpatine or Luke related, or not at all, just something small.
Palpatine and Luke seems like too much to me.
It does, but I think even a name drop is possible. When I say Palpatine and Luke, I mean, like, maybe I need to get this baby to Skywalker, who I've heard is searching the galaxy for Jedi stuff. You know what I mean? Like, our whole show has been during this time period.
So those are like the long shots, which I like.
Yeah.
Maybe we see like a live action version of like Hera or Ahsoka.
Sure.
Since we know that we've seen the ghost in the Rise of Skywalker stuff. So it's like a background connection.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Or Donald Glover shows up as older young Lando. Because he's like older than Lando we saw in Return of the Jedi, but he's still young Lando because it's Donald Glover.
I mean, if you want to take that curveball, Mark, we've seen crazy technology in the Marvel films. Why not just get Billy Dee with the de-aging technology?
Because I want Donald Glover to be Lando again. Yeah. That's the whole reason I said
okay.
that.
Yeah. realistically, it could be 50-50, either one of them, if it's Lando's appearing. That's the interesting part with the de-aging technology we have. I don't know. I just think I have a feeling the Imperials are going to fail at the end of the season, but they're going to double down for the next season, really getting that baby. And I think when they fail, they're going to have to go to somebody of a higher authority. Not necessarily mean that's Palpatine and his hiding, but maybe it's something interesting. that leads to Palpatine's contingency plan. Because now that we will see the end of Palpatine's story and what he actually ends up executing in Rise of Skywalker, now they can do whatever they want with that aftermath time period onward of what he was actually doing and what the First Order was doing as they were forming. And I feel like we might see snippets of that. And when I had that realization, it was really interesting to me, like, oh my gosh, like there's potential, depending on how long the show goes on, that we could see seeds of the First Order in this show. You know what I mean? Why not?
So I don't feel like we need to talk about the plot of this episode a whole lot, because it was like, as soon as they got to the planet, I was like, oh, we're doing the Magnificent Seven, yeah, or Seven Samurai, or yeah, whatever you want to call
this
it.
This is a samurai Western show. Every episode's been a version of that. This is definitely this particular
episode. But this is literally what we are doing in this episode.
But to bring it to Star Wars, Mike, this is an Ewok movie. This is Battle for Endor.
Also that, yes.
So it's a really cool homage to, of course, Westerns and samurai films, like every episode have been. But then we got a really interesting juxtaposition to the non-canon Ewok movies, but we kind of had a retelling of the story in one of those Ewok movies. So that's pretty interesting too. And, you know, that's a deeper cut than some people. What?
We finally get Cara Dune, and oh man, she just kicks the crap out of the Mandalorian at the beginning.
Oh yeah, that's when we get the infamous scene of the baby sipping, watching them fight.
Sipping the bone broth, whatever it is. And yeah, she got the drop on him because she was like, this guy's out to get
me. He looks like a bounty hunter.
What's going on with her?
Yeah. Love it.
But I feel like they executed her being a former rebel shock trooper.
Oh my goodness.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
If you go back to at Celebration, that was the thing that excited me the most. Like, Rebels had like these elite commando shock troopers also.
It's kind of like,
we'd never seen that. That had always been an Imperial thing. Yeah. And the way she described what her job was, basically, and then how she demonstrated how good she was at kicking the crap out of him was great. And just hats off, all the applause to Gina Carano for acting her ass off.
I know.
Like, I know that, you know, sometimes like wrestlers or MMA fighters that transition to acting, they're not always the greatest actors. And I'm sure she would even say the same thing about like maybe her roles in the first Deadpool.
Sure.
Or some other things.
But
she was
casting,
so clearly like casting, invested in this.
No, you're right. Casting
is stellar. And she was great.
Well, and it's kind of like the thing where, you know, you cast people in the right roles, it doesn't necessarily matter if they're the greatest actor on the planet, because if they're perfectly cast, that carries a lot of weight. And that was her in Deadpool. That was Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy. That was every early role Arnold Schwarzenegger did. And she has actually improved in her acting dramatically over the years. So now we've got this kind of like superstar character actor who's also knows how to do everything she's doing action wise on set. And they said she was teaching people how to fight too, which is great on set.
Bryce Dallas Howard also deserves some of the credit for you know, directing.
That's true.
And getting that improved performance out of her. But I've been harping on all those first three episodes. What is Cara Dune getting here? And she's finally here, and she's great.
Yeah, I completely agree. And according to Gina Carano, it's Cara Dune, not Cara. So
yes, I saw that,
which is very.
But
helpful.
It's like only according to her.
Well, I mean, if it's her headcanon of the character, and it definitely sounds more Star Wars, so I will say Cara Dune.
Did she say Cara in the episode? I only remember that from the interview.
I think she did, but what's ironic is I watched the episode again just before we recorded tonight, Mike, and she says Cara, but Mando says Cara in the episode. So
Cara. Yeah.
It's interesting. So, you know, she's a great character. She's got her costume and just her hair, everything is done so well. The detail, her little rebel tattoo, I can't get over her little rebel teardrop tattoo. It's such a nice little touch. It makes perfect sense with a shock trooper, Navy SEAL type character would get just, you know, the Rebel Alliance symbol as a tiny tattoo. It's nice little touches like that. And, you know, in this episode, Mike, we do get a lot of expansion of Star Wars lore. And that's one of the things through Kara's character. And even some of the things we get from Mando, this is by far the episode that the Mandalorian gets the most character development, dramatically so compared to the other episodes, yep. Which is great. We learn about the Mandalorians and their rules. We also learn about more of his past, his kind of orphan state. And then we kind of see his interactions with new people.
Foundling.
And we see his love for the kid. And we get more scenes of them building their trust with each other and him taking care of the kid, being the Mando dad. And we also see more of his weapons. There's a lot of building in this episode.
But first, let me ask you this. How much of The Good Place have you seen?
Like 2 seasons.
We got Pillboy.
We got
Pillboy. And it finally happened. We got to the point where you could cast somebody in Star Wars that just seeing their face takes me out of the show.
Oh, man.
And Pillboy being that villager, like, good for him, that actor getting in Star Wars. I'm not disparaging that at all, but every time I saw him, I was like, oh, Dip, it's Pillboy. Let's go find Donkey Doug.
Oh, my gosh. So it took you out. That's all right.
It did. Because he wasn't, I mean, he's obviously a good actor because he's in The Mandalorian, but it was just like, oh man, you're not going to come with us? Oh, that's lame. I'm going to go hang out with Jason Mendoza again.
I will say this episode to me, not a slight on Bryce Dallas or even just the show, but I will say this episode to me felt the most like television, while the other ones felt like Star Wars films. That's not bad. That means the show's settling in. The show's settling in its own format. It's slowing down, maybe getting a hair less cinematic at times, but that's fine because we kind of had a nice little quiet character episode till the finale with the action, which I really liked.
Well, and I'm not sure that's a result of like the directing or anything, or just the chapter of the story she got. Because like it was clearly like everything else was designed to lead up to the moment of the Mandalorians revealing themselves.
Yeah.
And
the first
this
three.
Is, could you call this a bottle episode? It didn't all happen, you know, like in one room, but it all happened on one planet, know, kind of. And the only main characters were, to this point, the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda. We'll see if Cara Dune becomes a main character moving forward, but this was kind of our bottle episode.
Well, the episode's called Sanctuary, and the episode was a respite. It was a respite from the main plot, which is the baby, the bounty that led to the baby being pursued by bounty hunters and Imperials. This was a respite from that particular storyline for the most part, Mike. And clearly by the end of this episode, that changes. He goes back to the initial plot, the initial mission. So this kind of was just different, and that's great because it needed to be to get these character moments. We can't have all this backstory on Cara Dune and the Mandalorian and these villagers and even just the baby's interactions with the villagers if we didn't have this quiet moment episode. You know, if they were on the run from droids and death troopers and whatever's coming in the future, we wouldn't get as much of this, and I'm glad we did. I really am. It was a nice change for Star Wars, too. It was different for Star Wars.
Definitely liked that the Mandalorian was, like, seriously considering just, like, taking the helmet off and settling down here with the kid.
Certainly. So.
Which added so much more weight to when he found out he couldn't.
Yeah, you're right. So before we get to that part, just the Mandalorian and Cara being hired by these villagers, the Mandalorian, we see more of his moral compass, more of his inclination to help people in need, people down on their luck, so much so that he actually takes the money and gets Cara to help him. And then we have the entire scenes, which were cool scenes, first of all.
Montage!
That's right, of them training the villagers and Cara and the Mandalorian actually learning that they're up against an AT-ST. And Mike, the treatment of the ATS in this episode was my favorite part. I'm sure, as you can imagine, just the horror elements, the Jurassic Park elements, the brevity, the intensity they actually treated the ATSTs. Sometimes in some of the Star Wars movies, we get such big epic scale battles with trained troops that like things like ATSTs fall on the wayside. Battle of Hoth.
Video games.
Yeah. I mean, like Battle of Hoth, there's ATSTs there, very few, but they're there in the film version. But even, you know, indoor, the ATSTs play a bigger role because it's just Rebel Commandos and Ewoks versus them. But still, like, the ATSD was serious in this. It was because these were not soldiers. These were villagers. And that's a whole nother level. And
well, and it wasn't soldiers piloting the ATSTs. It was warlords, basically.
Warlords, and hence the red lights and the aggressive paint jobs on the ATSD, which I absolutely love, the red and white paint jobs of the war
Did
paint.
You know that's a Lego set?
I believe it. I love it. So
yeah, no, it looks super cool, like with the red and everything.
I was just thinking I should paint a Legion ATSD with that paint on it because it was neat. Yeah.
Ooh, that'd
be a nice little deep cut. Maybe the second ATSD, you know, have the regular standard scheme. But, you know, it had all the sound effects. It had the movements down perfectly. But it truly was a menacing thing because, you know, we have these raiders, and we haven't talked about the raiders yet. They're a new alien race, very similar to...
I don't think they were new. Weren't they Klaatuinians?
No. No.
They looked a hell of a lot like
them. Dog faces. They looked like the guys from...
Klaatuinians look like dog faces. Well, just like the Trandoshans that attacked the Mandalorian didn't look exactly like Bossk, I kind of feel like the raiders in this episode looked like Klaatuinians that weren't exactly like these old Legends pictures.
So, Mike, when you say Klaatuinians, you mean these were just modern versions of them or a different tribe or something? Or just like a different...
Yeah, I mean, so this was the thing they looked closest to.
I actually agree with you now when you're saying this. Yeah, that makes more sense. I just, when I think of the Klaatuinians, I think of that stereotypical guy from the original trilogy, even some of the guys from the prequels, but mainly the guy that was in episode one that we see a lot, walking around, Mos Espa and stuff. I don't know. This was a whole nother level. So yeah, you might be right. They just... had a lot more going on with the prosthetics, of course. And yeah, very orc-like, I guess, is a way to say it. So what's interesting, Mike, is these Klaatuinians, if they, do they live on this planet or are they just visiting it as raiders is the question I had.
Well, I mean, we already know that Jawas are everywhere.
Right.
Weequay are everywhere.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So these guys just want to take the villagers harvest every year. And we haven't talked about the villagers yet. I thought it was so cool that we have literally villagers who are farmers, but it's a shrimp farm, which is really interesting. It's a prawn type farm. And my favorite part of the episode, other than the ATST and this, you know, all this character building with our mains, my favorite background part of the episode was the astromech with the crane bird legs that was scooping up shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah,
I cannot get enough of him. I watched him very closely in my second viewing. It makes perfect sense. I mean, you put astromechs to work. They work all day. They work on things. Get some type of astromech. It looks potentially one of the newer models of astromech, maybe an R5 or R6. And put some crane bird legs on them so they can stand in water and pull out these shrimp for the harvest. It was great.
Shrampies, as they would be called on The Good Place.
There it is.
And that damn ATST just wouldn't step in the water.
No, it wouldn't. They tried and tried, and Cara Dune.
Why is this thing not going exactly with our plan? So she's like, give me that pulse rifle. I'm going to get up there and
she's
fix
like,
this.
Cover me. Amanda's just shooting people with this pistol as she's down there.
Yeah. The action is great. Like I said a little bit ago, this is Magnificent Seven.
It is.
Seven Samurai. It is. Like these hired guns defending a town. It's very cool. I liked it.
It's simple, too. The action didn't get too much.
It feels just a little contrived just because maybe they're leaning too hard into that Western Samurai bit. But I still overall enjoyed it. And then we got some emotional parts after the battle because we always knew that the Mandalorian and Cara Dune were going to win.
Sure. But that leads to the assassination attempt next on the baby, the child. And this is what we alluded to earlier, Mike, where the Mandalorian was seriously considering taking the helmet off. As Cara Dune said, don't you think it's time to take the helmet off and settle down with that beautiful young widow and just live a life here with the kid? And he's seriously considering this. And then there's an assassination attempt on the baby. We have Another
GD tracking
fob.
That is
right. Another tracking fob.
That Kubaz is public enemy number one.
Oh, yeah.
the people I was watching with, I know that my wife and at least one other person like jumped up off the couch when they thought that, MF-er shot Baby
Same
Yoda.
Thing happened.
No!
Yeah. No one can handle Baby Yoda being hurt. So...
And like the entire time I was like, nah, Kara's got him. She's not going to let this happen.
She's the guy in the back.
Even though it was just a little predictable, I didn't care because it was still like, you know, have you seen all the tweets like trying to compare Baby Groot to Baby Yoda?
Poor Baby Groot.
Yeah. And people are like, I would burn Baby Groot to keep Baby Yoda warm. And that's kind of how everybody in the room.
So true.
It was like, we will do anything to protect Baby Yoda.
It's so true.
Including shoot this person in the back or whatever.
It's too much. Perfect design. And the puppet is stellar. That's really all it is. And, you know, so Cara Dune, yeah, saves him. It's great. We already loved her by this point, and now what a great way to kind of finish her little character arc in this episode before her and the Mandalorian part ways. But at this point,
she better be
the
back.
Mandalorian knows this, he has to leave. And this whole thing of settling down, or even his other idea of leaving the kid there and him moving on.
So heartbreaking.
She's like, you're going to break his heart. And he's like, he'll get over it. We all do. As in the Mandalorian, he had to go through the same type of things. But he can't do either one of those options, Mike. He has to go to the third option, which is we have to leave the planet now because they'll never stop coming. And this is what's really going to lead to, I think, all the future stuff on the show is where the Imperials go further up the Imperial Remnant ranks and get those guys involved, which probably going to lead to Moff Gideon. And this is...
We got to get him in the next episode.
We have to. And the stakes are going to be even higher because now we're going to have these... assassins, bounty hunters, smugglers looking for the baby, but then we're also going to have it go up the Imperial
Carl Weathers.
We're going to have it go up the Imperial chain, and this is where the show gets outrageous because, you know, the stakes are getting higher and higher. And once again, you know, what can Mandalorian do? Like, where is this baby going to go where he's safe?
Yeah. Curse you, Disney, for making me wait for every Friday.
I love it so much.
I do too.
We get to enjoy it, let it percolate for a week, and get to have fun watch parties, which is great, rather than everybody binge watching in a weekend. So, I don't know. I'm a big fan.
Honestly, I feel like I remember more of each episode with them spread out like this.
Oh, absolutely.
And absolutely. I'm sure part of that is a function of it being Star Wars and not Stranger Things, but I really love Stranger Things. But... watching the whole thing over the course of 4 days, I don't remember the details near as much as I do.
Well, you don't remember which episodes were where, and you don't necessarily remember what stops and where things begin. That's the problem. I feel like this more HBO type format where it's week to week, it's more effective. It's more dramatic. And you get to talk about it with your friends and family to the week leading up to the next episode, which is so exciting for Star Wars. Yeah, Mike, this is a fun episode. Nice change of pace. Mandalorian does not settle down with the young, beautiful widow, as Cara Dune says. Mandalorian and Cara part ways, which is a bummer. I was also...
She'll be back.
Well, Mike, I feel like the wool's been pulled in my eyes three times now. I thought Nick Nolte, IG-11, and Cara were all going to work together with Mandalorian. You know what I mean?
You really did get your heart set.
I loved this idea of this cool team of people of different skill sets, different backgrounds, different race and ethnicities in the Star Wars universe, even a droid, right? And
outside of IG-11, it could still happen.
It still could happen, but it's just, it's strange. You're right. Kara's got to come back. We know she comes back because Gina's been on set for season 2, but it's just... in what context, you know what I mean? And clearly she fell in love with the kid too, in a different way, but still like she fell in love with the kid. So I don't know. I'm very excited to see her back in the show again with that rebel minigun, please. In the trailer.
So that is kind of our review and wrap up of chapter 4 of The Mandalorian.
Right.
We want to go ahead and remind people that now that the first half is over, we're doing a giveaway. at Star Wars Celebration in April, we were fortunate enough to get into the Mandalorian panel, where they gave everybody that attended a very cool Mandalorian poster.
Exclusive, which is, yeah.
Yeah, it was exclusive to that. It's got the text of the Mandalorian in red, yeah. And the Mando against the snowy planet, kind of through that like circular like door opening from the first episode. Yeah. We're going to give one of those posters away to a listener, but you have to do a little bit to get that poster. You need to go to anchor.fm/thecanoncantina and send us a voice message. We want to hear your thoughts on the first half of season one of The Mandalorian. Can be a review, criticism, some things you like, some things you didn't like, your favorite episode, your favorite moment, your thoughts or favorite memes about Baby
Yoda. Absolutely.
We don't really care. Just send us something that is your thoughts. Send us a voice message that is your thoughts on the first four episodes of The Mandalorian. We will include it on probably the episode where we review episode 5 of The Mandalorian. It might be episode 6 to give more people time to send things in. But in the next couple weeks, we will include all of these voice messages that we get. And we'll pick our favorite or a random one. I don't know. We'll kind of figure that out live. But we will pick someone to send this Star Wars Celebration exclusive poster to.
I love it, Mike. So, yeah, just let us know your thoughts. I would love to hear some of you guys' thoughts on what's going to happen next in the show. I was just mentioning some of my ideas.
Speculation is also
some
great.
Of my ideas going forward, just the chain of command and the Imperial Remnant, this ramping up. What happens with the baby for the greater Star Wars narrative with the Force? I would love to hear your thoughts on that. We will definitely put them on the show, and that'll get you in this contest, which is great. This is a beautiful poster. I kind of love it so much, Mike, because it does not say Star Wars on it, and that's always a win for me on Star Wars merchandise. If it's more the imagery, less words.
Yes, so this is a combination of we want to take advantage of these new features available to us now that we've switched to Anchor. We want to hear your thoughts, and like I said, this is just for the first four episodes. Very obviously, we're going to be doing the same thing again once the season ends. We want to hear people's thoughts on the last half, and we'll have a different prize for that. So if you want to try to get this Star Wars Celebration exclusive poster, go to anchor.fm/thecanoncantina and send us a voice message with your thoughts, whatever they might be, on the first four episodes of The Mandalorian.
So go to thecanoncantina.com for links to all of our social media, and you can also listen to the show. We recently switched to Anchor, like we were talking about, and thanks to Anchor, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher, and really anywhere podcasts are found. If we're not represented on your favorite podcast catcher of choice, just let us know and we will remedy that.
That's right. We are always welcoming new rankings, ratings, and reviews on Apple Podcasts. We don't have a new one to read today, but anytime you leave us a 5-star rating, that is great. If you're going to leave us a lower than 5-star rating, please write a review and make it funny so that we can read it on the show. Still waiting on that hilarious 1-star review.
I cannot complain, Mike, that we have all 5-star reviews and we have a bunch of them. So if you haven't left us a review and you have an Apple device, please do. It helps us out immensely. If you have an idea for a future show or you think we can do something better, email us at canoncantina@gmail.com. So thank you to anyone that listened to this show that's followed my Marvel gaming podcast show, Fury's Finest. If you haven't checked it out, please do. And check out our social media at Fury's Finest. It's a really fun game. And what's been really fun on the show, Mike, is we get to do deep dives on lore, on Marvel stuff. And, you know, some of this stuff I know, some of this I don't know. And it's been really fun to learn more about these other side characters that maybe aren't these main characters in Marvel we all typically know. It's pretty fun. And just check out the show, Fury's Finest. On top of that, guys, we just appreciate you guys sticking with us during this time period. We've had weird scheduling stuff, and there's been so much news and so much content that we can't obviously do our normal format with the Legends and Canon right now. And, you know, we're just happy to do Mandalorian. We hope you guys are enjoying this series with us.
All right. So I think that about does it for us here today in the Canon Cantina. Once again, send us your voice messages to be entered into that contest to win the Star Wars Celebration Mandalorian poster. Yeah, I had a great time talking about episode 4. I'm looking forward to the second half of The Mandalorian. Cheers, everybody.
May the Force be with you.
Boring conversation anyway.